RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Metis.
Good morning and welcome, TD Green. Brian Cozio on assignment this week.
Only nice assignment, too.
Only two shows remaining here on TD Green. This week and next, Jeff. That's hard to believe. The season quickly coming to a close, at least here on the radio show.
And it feels like the season's winding down a little bit with the, it was 45 degrees this morning. The nice autumnal weather is coming. The leaves are starting to fall off the trees a smidge. And actually, it's my favorite time of year to play golf. A lot of places aerify. So Once they come back, we verified at the Park Club, everything's been done. And they'll come back quickly, and it'll be some of the best golfing you've ever had this fall if the weather's nice and dry.
Is this an earlier time of year? I forget which club it was. I want to say they airfied like 2 weeks ago, Which seemed pretty early to me. Talk about what that, you know, why courses do that. Because when I lived in the South, everybody airfied their lawn. Here, nobody airfies their lawn.
Yeah, sand base in the South, though, right?
Right, yes.
This is the optimum time of year, actually, to airify. Because what happens now is you want to grow grass. You want the grass to grow after you airify. And cool nights and warm, sunny days are the perfect grass-growing weather. So like a day like yesterday, nice, bright, sunny, 70. Tonight, cool, 45. All that makes that grass grow much better, according to the superintendents I've spoken with. So this is optimum. If you wait till the middle of September, that's usually a financial consideration. You're trying not to lose these couple days of rounds that you'd have in mid-August.
Sure.
When it's prime time, but you do tend to lose it on the back end, though. Maybe there's less play then, but you can airfy in mid-September, and those holes never close up. You know, the greens will be bad for the rest of the year if you get a rainy or cool fall where, you know, the grass isn't growing very well.
And what's the benefit of it?
Well, there's, you know, you put so much stress and strain on your turf. I don't know the compaction. It depends on the facility, but I've often heard the word compaction, where all those people's, all the machinery, all the cutting, all the stress that you've put on that grass, you're trying to give that grass a break. So you poke holes in there and pull some of the cores out to relieve. After you put like water and stuff down for a while, what'll happen is there's layering underneath the grass. So where the roots end, you'll start to get layers of sediment and materials where water and nutrients can't penetrate. So that they'll put deep tines down to go down and break that up. And then they'll pull some of those cores out to allow air, nutrients, soil, and allow that the roots to kind of expand and grow, and some new plant life to start. Layers of thatch and things are removed, and you just give that plant a fresh start, and it also gives it a break because those plants have been under stress, with low cutting heights, high temperatures, a lot of traffic throughout the summer. So that's what gives the plant a chance to rebound and grow well.
It's kind of like a cleanse. For your, like, your turf, right? A body cleanse for the turf.
3-day cleanses.
That's right.
Those sound horrible, so I'm not going to try that.
I think I need a 30-day cleanse.
They call that the Marine Corps boot camp.
All right, well, good morning once again. It is the Tee to Green Radio Show. Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Mead is here with you. We are in studio. Coming up on today's show, we're gonna go through the first event here of the FedEx Cup playoffs, the Northern Trust. Mm-hmm. That's the old Barclays, the sponsor change here. Northern Trust, by the way, used to be out at Riviera. That's now the Genesis at the start of this year. Northern Trust shifted here to the playoffs, to the first week of the playoffs. And then next week, I'll be at the Dell Technologies, used to be the Deutsche Bank, but the Dell Technologies Championship. That's leg two of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Don't worry, BMW is still the third leg in the Coca-Cola Tour Championship, still the final.
I feel like it's NASCAR with all these sponsors here. I'd like to thank Dell Technologies for, and the team at.
Well, they pay the freight,
they
on the PGA Tour, and they do a lot of great work. It's interesting. I wrote a piece on BuffaloSportsPage.com about pro golf in Western New York, and I get asked a lot, like, how come there's not a PGA Tour event in Buffalo? What would it take to have a PGA Tour event in Buffalo? Now, we have a web.com tour event very close, mm-hmm. At Peak and Peak, the web.com tour, and they do a great job with it down there. You have the Canadian Open an hour and a half away, at Glen Abbey. It's going to be there again next year. Then we'll see, because Glen Abbey is scheduled to become a housing development, although there's some wrangling going on to try to keep that golf course there. I mean, the Canadian Golf Hall of Fame, Golf Canada is headquartered there. I mean, the property, they have a lot of things going on the property, but...
Mm-hmm. Property has value.
Especially in Toronto, yes. Right? They keep putting condos up as we speak. So anyway, we have them close. And one of the things that I pointed out was a couple things that you definitely... But number one, you need a sponsor. There's three things you need. You need a sponsor, mm-hmm. all right, that is willing to the money for the purse, mm-hmm. at least. You have to at least cover the purse, the way I understand this. Mm-hmm. And that could be up to $7 million.
Correct.
Right? So, but not only do you have to cover that, you also have to support the event, too. Staffing, there's other programs that you put in place. It's not just write a check. I mean, it's a commitment from the company. So there's only a couple companies that I feel in this area that, could do that, would be willing to do that. Doesn't necessarily have to be a company from here, but it would make the most sense, right? Mm-hmm. And one of them is already tied into golf through some athletes and the lids that they mm-hmm. make, New Era. The other is, they own a hockey team. Mm-hmm. They own, I'm talking about Delaware North. Unless Pegula wants to do a golf tournament. But so that's just one obstacle. The other obstacles, you need a course that is willing to give up the course, so to speak, and it has to be championship caliber golf course. There's only a few of those here in Western New York, Jeff. Craig Byrne would be my number one choice. However, infrastructure would be an issue.
Right. And location. And those are all very, very good points. And, that company has to, you got to get value for your money. You have to have a national presence if you're going to spend that much money on a sponsorship. Why be a local, like a Wegmans? It's a regional company that may want some national branding. But
they had it with the LPGA and then
they did.
Stopped.
Yeah, and they supported it because it was in their town and it was a local thing to do and it helped the region mm-hmm. that they were in. I don't foresee a tour event ever coming to Buffalo. We've got only a couple facilities, as you said, that could host it. You'd need a local company that had a national brand that wanted to pony up. Where Rochester, on the other hand, they don't they don't necessarily have that, but they have the facility at Oak Hill.
Right.
And that's not a regular tour stop. That's a...
It's a major.
It's a major that comes through every couple of years. And that community is expert at supporting an event like that. And all that stuff's already in place there. You know, how to get the volunteers, how to get the secondary level of sponsorship, and all those other things. Those have already been in place. And they're also working, when they do that, with the national arm of the PGA and the PGA Championship and all that assets that they bring. But I don't foresee one coming to Buffalo anytime soon.
Here's the biggest obstacle. To me, the biggest obstacle is schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Finding a week on the PGA Tour to fit in. You'd have to take another event, right? An event would have to move to do so. And these communities that have these events, of course, they don't want to give them up. They're a huge... generator of revenue and activity and publicity, and they're all nonprofits. So I'm talking about the revenue generation it does for local charities, you know, at the tour stop. So to me, that's the biggest obstacle.
Oh, and
would be
so
finding
much-
a week in the schedule to fit an event in there. It's nearly impossible.
Yeah, and that I don't see those schedules are going to tighten up as years go on, because now with the changes and the way they're doing the FedEx Cup, you know, the season basically ends at the end of July or first week of August. So you've got to get in that short window between for a real tour event, you know, not the silly season stuff from, you know, February.
There's no silly season anymore, Jeff.
Well, they're making money like it's silly in the fall.
Well, they're getting into the Masters with those victories.
That's true.
And so the fall events, that's the start of the new season.
The wraparound, yeah.
Yeah, it's big now. Guys playing, like Sanderson Farms. I'm going to go work that one in Jackson, Mississippi, you know. Like Sanderson Farms, you're like, hey, you look who goes there. Because they have a chance to win. Like Rory McIlroy's not going to Sanderson Farms, but other players will, because they got a chance to rack up a ton of FedEx Cup points for the playoffs and make some money and potentially get a win.
And, I'm not a huge fan of the wraparound season. I understand why they do it. I understand there's still a demand for it. I understand the players still want to play and the community still want to host these events. But as a observer watching, you know, Sanderson Farms event, you know, during the football season, they're playing in October or November, and that counts for the next year and it counts for the point. In my mind... They just, you know, the season starts in January when they go to Hawaii or whatever it is, and then it ends when they, you know, at the FedEx Cup or the Ryder Cup.
Well, you look at Justin Thomas, for example. They're talking about him being the player of the year, right? Just won the PGA. He's got four victories.
That's a good year.
That is a good year.
Yeah.
Well, you know where it started? Last fall.
Mm-hmm.
Overseas.
Didn't he win two in the fall?
Well, he won HSBC over in...
Hong Kong, Shanghai Banking
Corporation. Might have been in South Korea. And he's won it twice, the last 2 years, as a matter of fact. So that counts. Then he won both events in Hawaii when it first started. But, you know, you go all the way back to that fall, so he won, and people are like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's right. That's part of the season, and I think that would put him over the edge as being player of the year. He won in October. He won in January. He wins in August. I mean, that's a great year.
But for the average golfer, those first three victories are certainly not fresh in their mind when you're having that discussion of player of the year. You know, you forget that he won twice in January out there, and you forget that he went out to and won a World Golf
right.
Championship and wherever it was in Korea. So that's where, you know, that's why I think they lose some of that with the wraparound. I don't think they're losing much, though. I mean, they're still golf fans that they're rabid, and they'll be watching all fall instead of watching football or hockey.
Yeah, but, you know, so back to Buffalo. Yeah, I for those three reasons, the sponsor, the club, and really the schedule is, you know, why I don't see it happening. But that doesn't mean we don't have the opportunity to go see, you know, golf live. I mentioned web.com tour down at Peak and Peak, the Canadian Open, and Oak Hill, you know, the major championships that come to Oak Hill and Rochester. That's pretty good.
Well, I feel like we're fortunate, you know, because we do get those major championships at Oak Hill. We can go an hour and a half up and see the Canadian Open. We can watch the web.com. We do have the Porter Cup. We do have some of the best events around within minutes of, you know, driving to us. There's regions of the country, they don't even sniff a PGA Tour event, and it's a long way to go see the best players in the world. So I feel fortunate, you know, and we do have, surprisingly, for a small market, like, look at a market like Rochester is going to host the PGA Champ. All those events, that's probably one of the smallest markets that the PGA Championship Championship will attend. And I would almost bet on that, that that's the smallest market the PGA of America will put an event in. Can you think of a smaller one?
Well, if you want to specifically say the town, of course, it's in, but we're talking about market.
Market.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty close.
I don't know if they count the GTA when they count Rochester.
All right, wait. No, I'm going to say Kiawah Island.
Okay.
Kiawah Island's probably South Carolina.
Plus it's harder to get to.
Hard to get to, and I'm not sure what the, I mean, would.
And I'm not sure they're going back there, to be honest.
Yeah, they are. Of those. Aren't they going back there? Kiawah Island.
I think they're going back one, but they're the logistical problems, I know the last time it was a little bit better with that one road in, one road out. But I know at the national level, that's a discussion for a lot of these events is the logistics of it.
Sure. Well, that's like playing a hockey game in Ottawa. One road in, one road out. All right. You're listening to CeeDee Green Radio Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. What is the phone number here? Always free. It's 803-0550, correct?
Yes, and toll free 1-888-552-550.
There you go. I almost gave out my own phone number.
That would be bad.
That would have been bad. All right, 803-0550.
That would have been fun. I don't know what you're talking about.
Probably would have been, yes. 803-0550 if you want to join that discussion about PGA Tour events here in Buffalo. Of course, do want to mention that TD Green is presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges, and we're going to talk to Kevin Hofstadter coming up here at the bottom of the hour. And also, Bob, by our custom turf. Looking forward to
Me too.
Indoor putting green. Steve and his staff down at Custom Turf. Oh, customturf.com. You really need to go there and look at the stuff and then give Steve, Tony a call there at Custom Turf and just explore the possibilities. I think you'll be amazed at what they can do.
Yeah, let him come out and look at your property or see what you're thinking about, and let him give you some ideas too, because he's put in so many. He's got so many ideas. He has this picture book of ideas that was really, really neat when he came over.
Yeah, especially if you had a sump pump issue like the Sylvester's did this year. And I said, well, why would we just put the regular old thing in here?
You knew unplugging that would work great for you.
Shh, we stop? All right. And our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. Hey, let's get a check of the PGA Tour leaderboard right here. That's brought to you by Cobra Puma Golf and Encore Golf with their new Elixir Golf Ball. The Northern Trust, that is at Glen Oaks Golf Club. Yeah. Double take. Well, there's another Glen Oak out there. Yeah.
I think there's about 14 Glen Oaks out there, actually.
This is in Westbury, Connecticut. This tournament is it rotates around several clubs in the New York City area. It was at Bethpage Black last year. It's at Old Westbury, and I believe Liberty National. It'll be next year in the rotation. But this year, Liberty National, that is the President's Cup this year. So, again, another chance. You know, it's a drive from here, six-hour drive. You want to go see the President's Cup this fall in September? You can do so. Johnny Vegas is tied for the lead right now. He is tied with Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, and Jordan Spieth. Do we even need to go deeper on the leaderboard? That's a pretty good leaderboard
there. Yeah, that'll perk you up and make you want to pay attention. Yeah, I do love the way the PGA Tour does this at the end of the season, and I like that they're compressing this in before football season here. But, that's a nice leaderboard. If you want to watch some premium brand names, go play golf. That'll be fun today.
Vegas went 69-65. Dustin Johnson opening round 65, 1 under 69 yesterday. Ricky Fowler 68-66. Jordan Spieth had a great back nine yesterday, shooting 65 to vault into that tie for the lead. Now, we were talking about Justin Thomas player. I mean, Spieth wins one of these events, right? I mean,
I think.
Yeah, it'll be his fourth victory, and his victories would be Pebble Beach, the Travelers, the Open Championship, and a playoff event. But there's a lot to be said here in the playoffs. One stroke back, two players, Matt Kuchar, and how about Bubba Watson?
He's shown a little bit of form last month or so after a horrid start. You know, is he still playing that ball? I wondered if he struggled because he made that switch to that ball, to be honest. And I haven't noticed in the last couple rounds if he's playing a little better.
We're not
going to
mention the ball, Jeff, because Encore Golf's a sponsor of the leaderboard, and it's a different ball. It hadn't been working for him.
Right.
John Rahm is 4 under par, along with Justin Rose, Russell Henley, who had a great opening round, 64, but was 2 over yesterday. And then 3 back. I mean, all these guys are in it. Patrick Reed, Paul Casey, Patrick Cantlay, Ches Reavie, Xander Schauffele, Daniel Berger, Justin Thomas is 3 back. Camilo Vigegas making an appearance there. He can move 36 spots in the playoffs. And Harold Varner III, that is your leaderboard.
How about the guys that aren't going to make it to the top 100? You had some interesting names. Well, there's Steve Stricker, right?
Yeah, two significant names. Jimmy Walker, who was last year's PGA champion, did not have a really great year, but made the top 125, but he missed the cut. He's at 101. His season is over on the PGA Tour. And Steve Stricker, the President's Cup captain, he did not make the cut.
Part-time player.
I think it's fantastic he was even in the top 125 being a part-timer there on the PGA Tour. If you want to look at the FedEx Cup standings, going into this first event, Hideki Matsuyama was 1, Thomas 2, Spieth 3, Dustin Johnson 4, Ricky Fowler 5, John Rahm 6, Koepka 7th. Brooks really hasn't done much since winning the U.S. Open. But who cares? He won the U.S. Open, right?
But he's making cuts, and he's just not, that, like you say, it's one of those things. If he just starts dropping a few putts and your confidence goes, you never know when someone has a hot 2 weeks. This is the best time of the year to have a couple hot weeks.
I'm trying to – is he playing this? Because there's some players are not playing this week.
Because of the scheduling would make it very, very difficult because you'd be playing back-to-back-to-back, depending on where you played before this. And if you have enough cushion to get inside and it's not going to change your ranking that much.
Right.
Some of these guys are almost assured to get to the second last week, I would say.
Most players can afford, in the top 50, can skip a week. Mm-hmm. There's players that obviously can't skip a week. And this is a debate that I was listening on PGA Tour radio a little bit about, should players be able to skip a playoff event, in the playoffs? Because, only the top 125 move on and not all 125 play this week. So are they giving other players, from 100 to 125 an advantage to try to get into the top 100 by not playing?
Well, that's an argument guys from like 90 to 101 are having. Yes.
Yes.
These guys are independent contractors. They're members of the PGA Tour, but I would not mandate that they play. You could be hurt. You could be sick. You could have a family issue. It may not matter to you. And sometimes money's not the only motivating factor, or they may, as Brooks Koepka may have enough cushion where, if I take this week off, I can go work on this aspect of my game and give myself a better chance to actually win the event. If you're burned out, it sounds like they're playing golf every day. Well, they're not just playing golf every day. They get up, they work out, they hit balls for a couple hours.
He is playing this week. I just didn't see his name.
Okay.
When I scrolled through it.
Yeah.
But there are a few players who are not.
How long do the PGA Tour practice rounds take? Oh my God. Gosh.
A lot of them are pro-ams.
Yeah.
I was having this discussion the other day where talking about golf. I said, okay, when you're before you play, like most people hit some balls, some putts, maybe some chips, right? Yeah.
I spend 20 minutes.
15
myself.
Or 20 minutes, right?
At the most.
You know how much? I spend zero.
Yeah. Well, you're a gifted athlete.
Yeah,
you
just no.
Get to the tee and
no,
rip it.
I'm always crazy schedule, whatever. But. Usually try to hit a few. Mm-hmm. Usually, if I only get a short period of time, I'll hit some wedges just to get that going. Maybe two drives and go. These guys, they get a workout in, get their nutrition in. They spend a good 20 minutes hitting balls in the range, maybe more. Putting green, another good 20 minutes. That's before they go. Then after the round.
Yep. After the round is more important to a tour player often.
The putting. The work they do on the putting green is incredible, particularly after a round. Mm-hmm. If they're not going, there'll be guys out there for an hour working on it, working on with their coach. The practice rounds, a lot of work is put into that. Your average golfer who says, "Oh, I could play every day," no, you couldn't, because you would not be willing to put the work in that you need to put in. I played at Orchard Park the other day. Rob Krajewski, right before, and he won, right? The Assistants Championship.
Did he? Yeah. I assumed he would, to be honest. He's a good player.
I saw him, on the putting green, just working and working and working and working, and putting the work in that he needed to put in. That's why pros are pros, and even on the local level, pros are pros. They know the work they need to put in. That's why the amateurs were the amateurs, because, we either A, don't have the time, or B, aren't committed enough to put that work in.
Right. And there's the other thing is the travel for these tour players. You know, you can't forget that then they got to get on a plane, fly somewhere else, get a hotel, do all that, and they're away from their families and friends, you know. So, you know, if you're gone 6 weeks or 4 or 5 weeks in a row, I can't imagine that you're not thinking, I need to get home and see my wife and kids. So that's, I'm sure that's a factor.
Well, a lot of them bring them with them.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, it's interesting you bring up the pre-round routine and how differently good players will prepare versus average players to go play around. So, you know, just they have a routine, and it's within, you know, if they have an hour, they spend an hour, they hit the same number of balls, they do the same thing, they have the same rituals, much like a hockey player or any other athlete would. You know, a free throw shooter does the same thing. You have a pre-shot routine. Well, you have a pre-round routine when you're a good player and you're trying to be consistently competitive, and you'll do the same thing over and over and over again, and that's why they tend to be more consistently good.
All right, we're going to take a short time out here on TD Green. When we come back, we're going to talk about your equipment and fit for equipment, re-gripping. Odds are, if you haven't re-gripped in a while, you are in desperate need of a re-grip. Kevin Hofstetter will join us from Woods to Wedges up next here on TD Green on WGR Sports Radio 550. I even recognize this one, Jeff.
Slim Shady?
Yes.
We can't, I don't think, let this, we, play,
yeah,
too,
I don't,
long.
Yeah, I, yeah, just saying, I don't think we can play this hit. Go too long here. Good morning and welcome back to TD Green Radio Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. I'm Kevin Sylvester. Jeff Medes here, of course, PGA, Western New York PGA professional. Brian Koziel on assignment this week, and he will not be checking in.
He's researching.
Shame on him. Yes. Shame on him. You know who is checking in? From Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, the best club fitter in Western New York, Kevin Hofstetter. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to have you on, my man. You just fit somebody else recently at Fox Club. We were talking about it. He's like, oh, my God, it was amazing what could be done in the numbers. And just let's revisit that real quick. And the numbers, they used to use this on sports. The numbers never lie. The numbers do not lie when you go to get fit, do they?
No, we like to say, you know, the best thing about, you know, our TrackMan launch monitor is that it's accurate, and the worst thing is it's accurate. You know? It doesn't care about your feelings. It doesn't care about how far you think you hit it. It'll give you the real truth.
Yeah, I got fit the other day, and it was a little disappointing, these numbers. I'm like, you sure? Oh, come on, wait, that's not my ball speed. Hang on 1 second. Let me swing a little harder here, yeah.
Well, and this may ring a bell as to whom you were fitting, but a younger fella and, you know, athletic guy, and he was...
Oh, I'm blushing.
Cat out of the bag. Anyways, he was really stunned. He was getting irons, stunned at how slow his speed was. And you fit him in a shaft that, you know, he's figuring, I'm going to get stiff shaft, extra shift, extra stiff, and even looking at graphite. For a young guy, but you're like, hey, look, this is your speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people think swing speed. They probably are thinking driver. They might have only gotten their driver swing speed checked, but most people haven't had their irons checked. And that'll be a much different number for us with a much shorter club. And, again, a lot of people come in, golfers will come in with some maybe preconceived notions about what may work best for their game, but when you base it on the data and you can compare, you know, club A, B, and C, and you can see the differences of launch, spin, distance, and accuracy, it makes the club buying decision a lot easier because you're basing it on quantifiable data instead of what you think or what your buddy might have bought. You know, you're basing it on what's best for your game.
And there's a trade-off with everything is the one thing I'll often tell players. You know, there's, hey, you can hit a stiffer shaft. Well, the ball will just fly lower and straighter and probably not as far. If you want a little more distance, you get a little softer shaft. The ball will launch a little higher, but you'll have a little more dispersion. So I know what I'll tend to do is with driver, you're really trying to maximize the distance on driver. But for the irons, you know, I think I don't know if you do the same thing, but I'll often fit a guy who's a little better player, maybe a little stiffer shaft than maybe the club head speed will account for because they like that low flight and they like that tight dispersion. Do you see that a lot in your fitting?
Sure. We want to look at the complete picture. Sometimes people will focus in on one area, especially maybe distance, over everything else. But we like to make sure you're getting what we call like playable distance, which means that the trajectory of your driver or irons is going to allow you to, for example, stop the ball on the green. With irons, that's very important, what we call landing angle. So it's one thing if you hit it, you know, 10 yards further, but the ball's coming in too hot where you'd have to land it on the front of the green just to keep it from going off the back of the green. But we look at the whole picture. So sometimes, you know, the player will be focused on one number like distance, but we're looking at the whole complete package, because it's not just about hitting it further. It's about, you know, trying to lower your scores. And sometimes that's going to be focusing more on dispersion or height, trajectory, things like that.
Yeah, because your longest, you want your clubs, if those clubs are approaching the green, you want to have the trajectory of the downward flight of the ball, the downward angle, should be enough to make sure that ball stops on the front third of the green. That's why I think a lot of people would be switching to hybrids as opposed to, you know, a three iron or something like that. I thought I was going to two hybrids this year. I'm still only in one. I'm not to that age where I'm hitting all hybrids. But so if you're fitting someone and their ball is coming in too flat into that green, it doesn't matter, because it won't stop, as you say. You want to have a downrange angle that's got a steep enough descent for it to stop on the front third of the green. Otherwise, you can't get anywhere near those front pins.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I would rather have the player hit it 150 with a landing angle, let's say around 45 degrees is what we kind of shoot for with, mm-hmm. with the 7-iron, versus hitting it 160, but they're not going to be able to stop the ball on the green. And it depends on, obviously, the player, how much spin they can generate with their irons. So it's about getting you closer to the pin and lower scores, not necessarily just what goes furthest.
Kevin, this is we're talking to Kevin Hofstetter, Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. You need to go there, especially, you know, I got a couple things I want to get in here, Kev. One, grips on the club. And I'll ask you first, Kev. Jeff, you can chime in too with this. How long is a grip good for on a golf club?
Well, obviously, it's going to be dependent on how often you play. So I think a general rule of thumb is around 50 to 60 rounds. Sometimes, you know, depending on how you maintain your grips, of course, if you can clean them on a regular basis. But that's just a general rule of thumb. So we certainly see grips that, you know, on clubs that are many years old that have never been changed, and it's amazing because it just wears a little bit at a time, so people don't notice it. But once they put fresh grips on, they're amazed at the difference.
Well, plus once a grip gets slick, people start to squeeze that grip a little bit, and once you squeeze, you start adding tension into your forearms and your hands, and you'll lose some of that touch and actually be able to not be able to create as much speed, because a tight muscle's a weak muscle. The other thing I see is I get a lot of guys, yeah, give me them jumbo size grips, I got some big hands. You know, I'm not a huge fan of putting large grips in people's hands unless there's a medical need, because I feel like you lose a little bit of that touch and that feel once that grip gets bigger. It gets a little bit more in your palm as opposed to in your fingers, and some of that crispness where you need that tight connection between the golf ball and the turf there on tight lies. If you've got a big grip, I think it makes it a more difficult shot and does take some of the feel out of the shot.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, the bigger grip, when you're trying it out in the store, it might feel good in your hands. But, yeah, you do maybe want to be cautious about not going too large, because that will affect how you swing it, actually. So
I love the big grip on putters. I have a friend who's got the bigger grips on the golf club, and I'm like, you know. Just not, no, not for me. I want that responsiveness. I want to be able to, you know,
yeah, the
feel
putter's
the shot,
a different
right?
animal. Yeah, the putter, you're trying to take your hands out of that stroke to some degree to prevent that face from twisting. But yeah, unless you have some arthritic condition where your hands can't close around the club or something like that, then I would pretty much stay away from those big grips.
But listen, if you have not had your clubs re-gripped if you haven't done it this year, and it's been a while, if you got the original grips, get them re-gripped. You know, some people are like, I need new clubs. They may just need new grips. I mean, it might just be that simple, right, Kev?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the grip is the only thing connecting us to the club. So it's definitely something you want to take a look at, because, you know, a lot of people will overlook that. They'll be looking at, you know, different shafts or different heads, but they ignore the grip. But that's the only thing connecting us to the club, and that makes a big difference in how you're going to swing it.
Want to ask you, this is the time of year where some manufacturers come out with new equipment, you know, looking ahead to 2018. I know TaylorMade just had a release earlier this week. What are some new things that have come out already, or maybe something that's caught your eye?
Sure. A lot of the clubs will be coming out in the next month or so, but we also, we just received the new Ping product for 2018, the G400, starting to do some fittings, getting some great numbers and results in our fitting studio with the new G400 irons and drivers, Fairwoods and Hybrids. So you'll be seeing more coming out from TaylorMade, Cobra, Callaway, all in the next month or so.
Ping has done a really nice job over the last couple of years. You know, most people have always known Ping for the putter, right? The answer putter and their irons, yep. But their drivers over the last, what, 3-4 years, they've really done a nice job.
Yeah, what they focus on is, you know, making the most forgiving driver they can possibly make. So that certainly fits the vast majority of the players that we see. The TaylorMade M2 driver has been exceptional this year for fitting most of the players. So some drivers are going to be built more for speed or distance. Some are going to be built more for forgiveness. So depending on the player and how they would benefit, that's going to dictate what types of clubs they're going to get fit to.
Forgiving, you mean the club apologizes when you hit it out of bounds? Is that?
Yes.
Sorry, I cost you $450.
Yeah, my I had a COVID driver that owes me an apology the other day. Anyways, all right, Kevin. Someone wants to get fit. Someone wants to come check out the new stuff. Bring their clubs in. How do they get in touch with you?
Sure. They can check us out online at woodstowedgesbuffalo.com, or they can come visit us inside the Golf Dome on Whirling.
All right. Yeah, do so. Matter of fact, we're going to give away the hat trick of services from Woods to Wedges right now. Kevin, give me a number between 1 and 10.
All right. How about 7?
All right. The 7th caller at 803-0550. 7th caller is going to get a Sam Putlab fitting. You get fitted for your putter. TrackMan fitting. And a lesson from Dave Petronic over there at Woods to Wedges. So you're going to get all three of those things. 7th caller, 803-0550. We'll get all three of those things. We'll send that out to you. So we're going to set you up to get your equipment fine-tuned and your game fine-tuned with it. Kevin, thanks so much to you and Donna for your support of Tee to Green, not only this year, but through the years. You guys have a great business and do a great service to golfers in Western New York.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
You got it, Kev. Thank you.
So years ago, I was playing with the Karsten brothers. I'm the dad and the son, I'm sorry. And it was interesting even
it's
back...
It's the family that started Ping.
Yeah, it's the family that started Ping. I apologize. And well, they told us, I mean, this was before clubs were even getting... They said, we can make the most forgiving golf club in the world, but it would be so ugly, no one would ever want to hit it. So, you know, because when they move the weight back, you know, if they could move the weight back further, the more you move it back from the center, the more forgiving the club becomes.
Like a conehead.
Like a conehead, yeah. Right. It would look different, but no one would want to play it. But yeah, all the vendors are coming out with new clubs right now. So actually, if you're a golfer and you're into the new stuff, this is an exciting time for you. If you're looking for a deal, it's also an exciting time for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want what they released last year for 2017, which is still good stuff.
It's like hockey gear. Yeah, it gets incrementally better every year, and sometimes there's leaps and bounds in technology. I haven't heard too much this year that it's going to be, you know, the jump like the Pro V1 was or anything like that, but they always do get better every year. I got fit by Titleist the other day, my club sponsor, and they the stuff they have, you know, it's all so very good. Everybody makes a good club. It's finding what works for you.
Right. And that's why you get fit.
That's
you know,
right.
What fits your buddy may not fit you, and off the rack, most often than not, does not fit you.
Especially the lie angles. People get the wrong lie angles on their irons, and they're really going to struggle. And shafts, yeah, it's going to make the game much harder.
Yeah. All right. See your pro. Go to Woods to Wedges. You've got options there the way it works. All right. We come back. We'll get a check of the Champions Tour leaderboard. We'll get one more check of the PGA Tour leaderboard. We'll get our Western New York PGA Tour tip of the week. It's going to deal with the mental game. It's really for me. All right. That's up next here on TD Green on WGR Sports Radio 550. All right, we're back. Tee to Green. Michael Abenshire. I get it right?
Michael Abenshine.
Michael Abenshine. That was close.
There you go.
That's a nice thing to get.
Michael Abenshine, congratulations, Michael. Yeah.
I also had the advantage of having it spelled out to me. Excellent. And writing everything down.
I like it better how Fletch would say it. Michael Abenshine.
No. It's all ball bearings nowadays.
We're back here, Tee to Green, brought to you by the Western New York PGA, by Woods to Wedges. Michael won that great package from Woods to Wedges with the putter fitting, TrackMan fitting, lesson from Dave Petronic there. Also by Custom Turf. You heard the spot there in the break. Indoor putting greens, outdoor putting greens. Hey, your pet winter's coming up, you know, little pet track for them to take care of business, you know, out there during the winter. That's a big thing, actually. CustomTurf.com, check them out there. Our home courses, Fox Valley, Tantera, and Briarwood. Check them out if you're thinking about membership. Good time of year to join, too. A lot of incentives when it comes to that. Western New York PGA, our tip of the week. Jeff, let's talk about the mental game. Out there.
You're asking me?
Yeah, well.
And the Department of Irony.
I'll explain why. So this is really for me, but I'm sure a lot of you deal with this or, you know, have dry spells, if you will. The last three rounds I've played, and no, it hasn't been 3 days in a row. That's for my wife. Anyway, the last three rounds, 18-hole rounds I've played, have made a birdie. I had a hole-out eagle, which, I mean, I'm not complaining, right? But I'm talking about, you know, you play it in regulation on the green. You've got a makeable putt and just can't get anything to fall. I had two horseshoe around the hole and out. And the other day I was playing at Orchard Park and seven straight pars to start. Like, oh, what problems. Oh, such problems. I was getting frustrated. And then I tried to make some things happen. I went bogey, double bogey to close out the front side. Then I made five straight pars again. Then I tried to make something happen. Bogey, par, bogey, bogey, finish. Trying to get one. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about the mental game. I mean, I'm playing good golf. I'm not complaining about it, but just a little frustrated because I'm used to making a couple birdies around. You know, there's some bogeys mixed in there, obviously, but it wasn't the norm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think where you said you tried to force it or you probably changed something you do, you know. When you start chasing strokes you've already lost, those strokes are gone. They're dust in the wind. So there's nothing you can do. All you can do is focus on the shot that's presented in front of you. A lot of times, too, when people try to force it, they're hitting a shot that they're not comfortable hitting, or they're getting out of character, or they're getting out of their rhythm or their routine. I talk about routine all the time with good players, with my college team and stuff. So if you stick to your routine, excuse me, we talked about a game plan a couple weeks ago on the show. Stick to your game plan. I understand when you're hitting good shots and the putts don't drop that it can become exasperating, especially if you're hitting good putts. So I'll often tell people, hey, if you're not making putts, just change up the smallest thing in your putting stroke. Maybe grip it a half inch shorter. Maybe grip it a half inch longer. Maybe move your ball position forward or back up just a littlest bit. Make sure your grip pressure's light. Anything you can just to maybe get a spark, a little touch more feel in your putting. Because a lot of times you'll hit good putts and not make them. Also, like, if you're sitting on a team, you got some time, look back. Where did you miss those putts? Sometimes you'll find I missed every putt right. Oh, so maybe my blade alignment's off, or maybe I'm overreading everything because they were all right to left and I envisioned that they're going to, but, you know, there's the valley over here, or the street, mm-hmm. you know, the lake effect, or whatever you want to call it when you have certain putts. You can be overreading putts, which I don't often see. I often see underreading putts. So just look objectively at what's been going on in your game, and sometimes you can find something yourself in there that why you're maybe not making the putts that you should make. Also remembering that I think it's 6 or 7 feet, tour players are only making 50%. I also like to look at it. Hey, I've had 5 10-footers in a row. I missed. Guess what? I'm due. And it's like a good 3-point shooter. He's just going to keep
chucking. Oh, believe me, I kept saying I was due.
Yeah. You know, 3-point shooters that suddenly get cold, they don't stop shooting. They got to keep shooting until they get hot again. And same with you. I think you got to, you know, when I was playing my best, I always wanted to give every putt a chance to go in. Yeah. That's all I ever wanted to do was give it a chance. I wanted to hit the best putt I could and give it a chance when it was around the hole to go in. But I think if you stick to your routine, it's like beat it like a, you know, drum. But stick to your routine, and there's an old rule of thumb: if you can't hit that shot 80% of the time, probably shouldn't try to hit it. You know, I see it a lot when people hit it in the woods and they can filter it through this from this 8 inches of rough with this 3 iron over that. It can't be done. Take your medicine and sometimes you just got to be patient. I think you'd be, you know, you're hitting a lot of greens. I'd focus on the positives.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm hitting a lot of greens. I'm hitting a lot of fairways. I'm getting a lot of chances and I'm going to keep hitting the green and give myself as many chances as I can and see what happens at the end of the day.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned game plan and I really didn't have a game plan going mm-hmm. that round. You know, thinking, you know, hole by hole. It's one that I played the course enough, but I knew I wanted to be below the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I could have changed. Mm-hmm. I could have said, all right, you know what, I'm not, you know, cause I like being below the hole. I can make an aggressive stroke at it, right? And most of them were, if they were just short or they were a couple feet past, you mm-hmm. know, able to tap in. So that could have been something I could have mm-hmm. changed. Just say, all right, you know what, I have the number to the stick. Mm-hmm. Let's play past that number. Right, you know,
on uphill or whatever it is.
Yeah, you know, just so I can have a little downhill or, you know, maybe a level putt. I was focusing on being below the hole so I can make aggressive runs at the hole.
Are you aiming at the stick on every shot?
Well, I aim a little left of the flag because I hit a little cut in there. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's the other thing I see is people just, there's the flag, I'm going to aim at it. You know, well, that flag may be in a, you know, a red light situation, as Johnny Miller used to say, you know. You may want to aim for the center. So little things like, you know, hey, I always want to have an uphill putt or, you know, hitting it past the pin and managing your, there is a value in par. There is a value in.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
Yeah. The number looks attractive at the end of the round.
Right.
It's just like, man, I didn't like, going back, like it's 3 in a row, like not one.
Yeah, and you know, and I would check. That's where it always comes down to when you're putting. To speed is going to be more important than line. So you can hit a putt, a right to left breaking putt on 50 different lines with 50 different speeds and make it.
Yeah, and you know, in the reverse side of that, I'm sure somebody's at the list saying, "Oh, too bad for you, Sylvain. Par." Oh. But you know, meaning like. You know, they get on the bogey train and can't get off the bogey train.
Right.
How does someone get off the bogey train when they're on the bogey train?
Well, that's a good question. Usually it's mental. You know, you'll see guys get frustrated. I'm a huge believer in how you comport yourself, how your posture, how you appear. If your shoulders start to slump, if your head's down, if you're slamming clubs, if you suddenly got a bad attitude, you're distracted. You're not focusing on the task at hand. If your driver's failing you,
don't hit it, right?
Yeah, hit the 3-wood. Yeah, I've struggled with my drive. I've gone down to the 3-wood. I've gone down to, you know, hitting a hybrid. And just getting that ball in play off the tee is big. If you're not getting it, you know, they say drive for show, putt for dough. Well, the stats will tell you differently, you know, and to a large degree. The driver is a very important club. So you need to get that ball in play. You need to get it in the center of fairway. Instead of trying to force a birdie when you're on the bogey train or stuff it in there, or just focus on your process. Hey, I'm going to see if I can hit a good tee shot here, get it in the fairway. Let me get this in the center of the green. Let me get my speed right, let me get my tap in par, and I'll move on to the next hole, and maybe my momentum will change. But anytime you start slumping your shoulders or having a bad attitude, you're killing yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's look at our Champions Tour report, which is brought to you by Absolute Care. Jerry Kelly and Dave McKenzie currently lead the Boeing Classic through the first round. Remember, they play 3 rounds on the PGA Tour Champions. Jerry Kelly, love watching that guy play. There's a guy who likes to work the golf ball a little right to left.
He's
Jerry Kelly.
Well, and you can tell, like I always say, you can't tell how good a player, like a good player is from how he walks down the fairway. With Jerry Kelly, you might be able to tell, because he's very emotive out there.
Yes, he is.
He is fun to watch because of it.
Yeah, opening round 65 for he and Dave McKenzie. Duffy Waldorf. Remember Duffy Waldorf?
We do. Who can forget his golf balls? He had his daughter's color on him. Yes.
That's right. Duffy Waldorf and Marco Dawson are each 6 under par, 1 stroke back. Stephen Ames is 5 under, along with Scott Parel, Bob Estes, Vijay Singh, Rocco Mediate, David Frost, and Jerry Smith are 4 under par.
Didn't I see you wearing one of those Tabasco shirts the other day that Duffy Waldorf used to have?
No, that was not me. Yes, right.
I haven't seen those in a while. I used to sell the sugar out of those things. That, that fad passed quickly.
So that's right up there with the mock turtleneck, right?
Yeah.
The short sleeve mock turtleneck. If you have a Duffy Waldorf Tabasco.
Yeah, if you're packing for a golf trip and you've got a Tabasco shirt and a mock turtleneck in your bag, you may want to update your wardrobe.
Yeah, it's a good idea to move on from that. Hey, Jeff, we mentioned this is, you know, starting at that time of year, like we're feeling it this weekend, right? The mm-hmm. temperatures change. If you're playing early in the morning today or tomorrow, the temperature change, what things should you take into consideration?
With the temperature change?
Yes, with the temperature being cooler out there.
Well, the ball does travel less far when it's cooler. It's barely perceptible at 5 or 10 degree, but, you know, you start getting down around 45 or 50 degrees like it was this morning, the ball will travel less far. You know, it's a little sticky. The grass tends to be a little stickier in the morning. But as the day goes on, you'll see it start to burn off and you get back to your normal temperatures. It's just like every day in golf, you know, that's what makes golf kind of cool is every day that you have to adapt to the conditions. It's an outdoor game, so you're out there, you know, adapting to what's going on around you. Just be aware of it. I don't think you have to make many changes. Just maybe an extra half a club or maybe add a couple yards. You know, if you're normally hitting your 7-iron 150, maybe you got to hit a 6-iron here just to make sure you get it there, especially early in your round when your body might be cold and stiff. I think just being aware of it is plenty.
Yeah, and if you don't have waterproof golf shoes, you need them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Morning dew.
Oh. Right? And I like watching. I like when I get to a green and it's been dewy and you can see the putt tracks.
That's right, yes.
It always helps me get a read, you know, which one went in, how much, you know. So you can learn a few things out there. It's also typically a time where a lot of golf courses have been aerified and there's a little bit of mud and gunk out there. So you might want to set your expectations for what you're going to do and how well you'll be able to play just a little bit lower.
Yeah, if you're thinking about that golf trip too, Golf Away Tours, TJ Roll, certainly check them out, golfawaytours.com. If you're thinking about that getaway, I suggest giving TJ a call, connecting them at golfawaytours.com, because it's that time to start thinking about, all right, where am I going to go play in February? Mm-hmm. Although we may get some golf in February this year, right? I mean, our temperature is increasing. Right. Hey, want to get another check here of the PGA Tour leaderboard brought to you by Cobra, Puma Golf, and Encore Golf and their new golf ball, the Elixir. Again, we have four players tied at the top of the Northern Trust, the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. The top 125 are in this week. They'll cut down due to top 100. That'll go on next week to TPC Boston and the Dell Technologies Championship. Johnny Vegas, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth are all 6 under par, all 4 of those golfers there. Just one back, Matt Kuchar, who had a 64 yesterday. Matt Kuchar and Bubba Watson at 5 under par. John Rahm, Justin Rose, Russell Henley. Henley had a 64 in the first round, 72 yesterday, though. But Rahm, Rose, and Henley are 4 under par. Then the players at 3 under, Patrick Reed, Paul Casey, Patrick Cantlay, Ches Reavie, Xander Schauffele, Daniel Berger, Justin Thomas, and Camilo Vigegas, and let me throw one more there, Harold Varner III. Those
Man,
players are
300. Your pronunciation of those names is spot on.
Xander Schauffele, who yes. Probably Rookie of the Year, by the way. He won the Greenbrier and had a good run at the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's probably locked up PGA to a Rookie of the Year.
That's a nice award to win.
Yeah, yeah, just winning a tournament's pretty nice. Pretty,
yeah, that, except so. For like financially, you win right. One PGA Tour event.
This is my last show in studio. I'll be on the horn next week, checking in from Boston. I'll be working the second leg of the PGA Tour playoffs, FedEx Cup playoffs next week in Boston. So Jeff, been a pleasure.
Kevin, nice
here
season.
In person.
Yep.
Brian Koziel on assignment. He'll be back next week for our season finale on the radio side. Anyway, so we'll have some podcasts throughout the winter and the off season for TD Green. Again, thanks to the Western New York PGA, Custom Turf, Woods to Wedges, Encore Golf, and our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. This is TD Green on WGR Sports Radio 550.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.